It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5. Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. The Drive, Alex Olive with his final Top 5 at 5. Are you a little bit emotional? I know we did the whole animal thing last segment, last hour. You got in your feelings a little bit, as your generation likes to say. Are you going to be able to make it through without crying?
Maybe. We'll see. Okay. I might tear up towards number 5.
It's okay. All right, Alex, Top 5 at 5 brought to you by Knoxville Smiles.
I hate to say it, but the news today is not great. Number one, Justin Thomas says that Tiger Woods is bummed not to be at Masters. While he recovers from his car wreck, should be pretty obvious, but
yeah.
Woods is recovering at home still from serious injuries he suffered in that single car wreck on February 23rd.
Yeah, I'd imagine he's bummed, but maybe also a little bit happy not to be, you know, dead.
I wonder what kind of appliance, as they call those things, he has on his leg. You think he's still got the rods going through the skin and all that?
Probably. He had significant injuries to his leg and ankle, so.
Not good. Not good, Bob. One here, what? Was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago? The time's a flat circle at this point.
2019.
Yeah, so 2 years ago is the great triumph, the return of Tiger, and you're thinking, okay, is the chase for 18 back on? And he had the setback and now a wreck, and it just feels like he's further away from 18 than ever.
I didn't realize how bad these breaks were. He had comminuted. Co-minuted,
sure.
Open fractures,
okay.
Bones that were broken into more than two pieces and with breaks in the skin.
Yeah, he shattered his right ankle and leg, multiple compound fractures.
If he's able to come back from that and win majors,
he'd be the GOAT.
It would be the greatest comeback story in the history of
sport. Quite honestly, he'll probably be lucky if he's able to regain, like, being able
to walk.
Full
use of his legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, number two. Some Yankees news for you, Bear.
Sweet.
They have acquired infielder Roned Odor from the Texas Rangers.
I will not remember that name by the time Russ asked me to name three Yankees by the end of the show.
Do you remember the big brawl between the Blue Jays and the Rangers a few years ago?
No.
Because he was the guy that got decked in the face and the sunglasses went flying.
Oh, okay.
No, he was the one that
was he the
delivered
one that threw
the punch?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Hothead. Like
there
him.
There you go.
Bronx Bomber.
All right, number three. The Tokyo Olympics, which were already postponed last year, may be in trouble again this year. Olympic organizers had to postpone a water polo test event set for this weekend. They've also had to postpone some other test events for diving and artistic swimming.
You know, they're in a jam, man, because they have spent – I mean, it's not cheap to get everything ready for an Olympics. And now they're going to be – I mean, what are we going to have if they don't do it this year –
you're going to have the Winter and Summer Olympics going up against each other next year.
I mean, that's fine. That's how they used to do it. But then they offset them so that it was every 2 years you had an Olympics. Mm-hmm. Problem is going to be they're going to have one, and then like a year later they're going to have another one to get back on track.
Well, shouldn't they be able to vaccinate all the athletes, all the hotel workers, all the food workers that are associated with that?
You can say that, but right now there have been almost virtually no vaccines been given out on the entire continent of Africa. I don't see how you can go and start vaccinating a bunch of athletes, young people, to get them ready to play in the Olympics when you've got a whole continent.
I'm thinking the International Olympics Committee is one of the more powerful and wealthy organizations in all of sport. It seemed to me that with everything that's riding on this, not only from a human health standpoint, but from a financial standpoint, that that they could get their hands on enough vaccines to put on the games.
All I will continue to say is that there are continents and countries in the world where there's currently very little vaccine at all, and this thing's not going to end until, you know, most of the people on the planet.
Herd immunity.
Yeah, for the planet.
It seems like most of the issues, too, with this specific situation are arising from the travel restrictions by the Japanese government. Like, they're not letting they couldn't even get technical officials into the country to do these test events.
North Korea's, not that they had a big team going or that they're any good, but they're boycotting. Or they're not boycotting, but due to COVID, they won't be attending.
Were they even going to be allowed to compete?
Yeah, they have the past couple. I think they've allowed, like, one of the last Winter Olympics, they allowed 18 athletes from North Korea to come in.
Hmm. Did not know that. All right, we'll go on to number four. Kansas Jayhawks. This is not really big news, but they've hired Travis Goff as their new athletic director. I believe he comes from Northwestern, if I'm not mistaken. He's been at Northwestern since 2012.
Is it related to Ray Goff?
I don't think so. Kansas.
How good did we have it back when Ray Goof was Georgia's coach?
Yeah, I wish they'd hire him back, right?
Yeah.
That Kansas gig, is that a – you go from Northwestern where you're not a power in football or basketball or anything, but you're in the Big Ten, you're living in Chicago, you're kind of – it's a good gig, right? You go to Kansas. It's not Chicago. You do have Kansas basketball, but they are under – an NCAA investigation with no end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And the football program has become the laughingstock of Power 5 conference football programs.
Even Les Miles couldn't do anything there.
You'd have to pay me a lot to take that job.
He was the deputy athletic director at Northwestern, so it's technically a position upgrade.
Okay.
But
yeah. Is he Kansas does not have a coach, right?
Not as far as I know.
So that's a Danny White situation where he's
coming in to make the hire.
Okay, here's your job. Hire a football coach immediately.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because they got rid of Jeff Long because he had botched so many hires.
Yeah, what a fall from grace for that dude. Remember, he was like the first president of the football playoff committee. He was the guy who hired Bobby Petrino and had Arkansas doing seemingly pretty well. And then he went to Kansas and just, ugh.
All right. Good. We'll close out my last top five at five with this. A sealed copy of the original Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo Entertainment System has sold for a record price of $660,000.
Sealed copy, like it's still in the...
Still in plastic wrapping. Yep.
You open it and play it, right? You got to, right? You got to blow on it and stick it in there, see if it works, right?
I mean, you can find plenty of copies that are not sealed to play, like... It's going to be the same game as any of the others.
Okay. I'm guessing there are very few of those in their wrapped state.
Yeah, there was a short run that was produced in 1986 before they switched from shrink wrap to a sticker seal. So this is like already limited besides the fact that it's still sealed from 1986, 40 years ago.
In pure fun standpoint, and I don't know that you guys will be able to talk about this, but maybe Bear will, the Super Mario Brothers. First game for the NES.
Incredible.
Is it the GOAT? I mean, it's in the conversation, right?
I remember when it came to the arcade.
What about Super Mario Brothers 3? That was like the big one that really...
No, it wasn't the same.
No. Wasn't the same?
No. I mean, Super Mario Brothers
was
revolutionary.
There was a guy we hated that would come down to Family Game Line down there in Paper Mill. He put one quarter in, wouldn't take any of the shortcuts, and he'd go from 1-1 to 8-4.
See, I don't even... I don't think I've ever seen Super Mario in the arcade game. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, you were
like
6 years old.
To me, it was the home video game. Playing that was – that was it. I don't know that playing video games has ever been more fun than – I'm sure your generation obviously has better graphics and more –
They had the hockey game where
stuff,
if you got in the fight, the guy would bleed. And
I actually have an NES.
Really?
With like 40 games. Yeah, my uncle gave it to me.
What are some other transformational video games?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, I guess.
I mean, Pong started the whole thing, right? Pong and Asteroids.
Pong, for sure.
Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
Space
GTA,
Invaders, Asteroids.
Madden.
Defender.
Halo. That was a newer generation, but yeah, Halo in 2001.
Kind of a dorky game, if we're being honest.
Yeah, but
it kept the Xbox alive.
Same thing as Call of Duty, right? I feel like Call of Duty was
It's like science fiction.
Passed it over.
Yeah, basically. But Trey's right. It did keep
Pac-Man.
The Xbox alive.
Oh,
Pac-Man,
yeah.
An iconic.
Galaga. You guys like Galaga at all?
It's not my cup of tea, but certainly have to have a healthy respect for Galaga. That was always
that was my game.
That was mine
really
too.
Good at Galaga.
Recognizable arcade games. Space we all see Invaders. The casing to the game right now, mm-hmm. don't we? In our mind's eye. All right, that is the top five at five. Good job,
thank
Alex
you.
Olive. That is brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Folks, if it's been a while since you've been to the dentist, do yourself a big favor and call our friends at Knoxville Smile. Schedule a routine dental cleaning today. They'll take great care of you and your family at Knoxville Smiles. Their phone number is 865-539-1776, and their website's knoxvillesmiles.com. We have Mike Griffith set to join us here in about 10 minutes on the show. It'll be good to catch up with Griff. In the meantime, we get a call from Willie on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Willie. You're on the drive.
What's up, guys?
Willie.
Good to hear you on there, Bear.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Willie.
I know that what you're going through, that ain't no damn picnic.
Yeah. Russell's help. I'm getting through it.
Hey, guys, and that, I'll tell you what, though, that linebacker, I don't care if he's the last linebacker we got. Anybody do that to a kitten, that guy's gots to go. Gots to go.
Yeah.
I don't see how this is remotely controversial at all. I am really shocked at some of the stuff that I've seen online. The "it's just a cat" faction of our fan base. That's a point of view I just cannot identify with at all. And I think most people probably feel that way. But man, those people are that's a strange hill to die on.
I mean, if you look at the specific things that are reported to have happened, I mean, that's messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he body slammed the cat and picks him up, and or the kitten, and then blitzes him. Gets up, picks him back up, body slams him, and then they get him for a 15-yard taunting penalty for picking him up, dangling him by his damn tail. I mean, what kind of crap is that? And I love dogs and cats. But anyway, let's move on. Hey, guys, I'll tell you what. I called that shot before the game last night. And let's face it. I said before the game, Baylor's going to win because Gonzaga's not wide enough. They're just not wide enough. And I said the same thing when I was 16 years old. The last time an undefeated team lost in the championship game was when Indiana State lost to Magic Johnson in Michigan State, the Bird versus Magic game. And I said the same thing when I was 16. Michigan State's going to beat them because Indiana State's just not white. I mean, just not black enough. Do you guys agree with that statement?
You're saying that Gonzaga was not black enough. They did not have enough African American players to compete with Baylor.
That's the same, white men can't jump.
Yeah. In other words, they're too white.
Bye-bye. Mm, great.
That was an all-timer.
I don't know, man. I feel like it's one of those things we've probably all joked about at times before. Ha, ha, look at all the goofy white guys on their team. I feel like Willie was he was walking up to that line. He was jumping on the other side of it where you're not supposed to be. You know? It's hard to articulate what exactly that means, but it's like you know it when you hear it, and I think we all kind of heard it there. It's like, all right, Willie, we gotta move along here.
Well, it didn't help that he misspoke and said they weren't white enough
at
first.
Yeah, it was very confusing. I was like, they're pretty white to me.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, Bear.
Yeah.
Steve Matthews out at Catholic, huh?
Whoa.
I need a segue or in a transition from Willie's awkward white guy call.
Yeah. He resigned yesterday.
Who you gonna get?
I've heard a few names.
Who you gonna get?
George Quarles.
Oh!
Bring him back.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, that would be awesome. Just to watch Bear do the complete and total 180.
I don't think I would.
Best football coach in the history of Tennessee high school football. And he's all ours now, baby.
He wouldn't.
George Quarles.
I heard one name that kind of blew me away.
Okay.
But there's no way I'm going to utter this name on air.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
cannot
can.
Do that.
Yeah, I can.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I imagine if – I'll be surprised if somebody – I would firmly believe somebody's going to get named interim for spring practice. They've got some really good coaches on staff over there.
Who? All right. So this name that you want, why does it surprise you?
It just does.
Is it a name we all know? I'm assuming. Oh, wait a minute. I know who it is.
You'll never guess it in a million years.
Rush Probst. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Because the bishop.
Everybody needs a second chance and a second family. Yeah. Come on, Rush.
Yeah, I'm sure that the bishop's going to bring Rush Probst in here. Bishop will be fine with that.
Okay. It's not Rush Probst. I thought that was a good guess. Is he like a well-known high school coach? Is he known for high school footballers?
No.
College?
I'm not going to say it, dude.
College?
I'll tell you at the break.
Pro?
No.
It's college coach?
No.
Chavis?
No.
Fulmer?
No. You're never going to get it.
No, you're never going to get it.
Never going to get it.
Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Love that song.
Who's that guy that's been the Chargers quarterback? I'm completely blanking on his name. The Chargers quarterback for the last 20 years.
Phillip Rivers?
Phillip Rivers, thank you.
No, he's coaching down
he's got his own team.
Bama.
Oh, okay. That's right. So,
now, Robert Ayers is on that staff.
If you want to go just the big name splash, I mean, former Vol, played for years and years in the NFL. Be an interesting hire.
He'd have to bring in – they'd have to get a really good offensive coordinator. He's a defensive guy.
T. Martin?
No.
That was the name, wasn't it?
No.
That was the name, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah, T. Martin's going to leave being the wide receivers coach for the Baltimore freaking Ravens. He's not.
He'd do that.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I don't, you know. I mean, school's out.
He had a weird kind of like look in his eye, hesitation. He's like, oh,
I promise. I swear to God, look at me. It's not T.
Okay, I believe it.
Gerard Mayo?
No. God, that's a good guess.
Let's just go through the list of coaches that were eligible for Tennessee's job.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll get our old friend Mike Griffith.
Yeah, baby.
In the mix when we continue. It's The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. Pleased to be joined on the G3 Help Me Hotline right now by our old pal Mike Griffith, the AJC Dog Nation. Now they're covering Georgia now. Griff, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's going very well. Good to hear your voice again. And before we get started here, Griff, is there any truth to the rumor you will be applying for the new your old job, the new Sentinel Vols beat writer gig, going for Mac Brown.
I didn't even know it was open. Who's leaving?
Blake Topmeyer. They promoted him. USA Today Network. He's an SEC columnist now.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's an excellent reporter. Yeah, that's great news. That's a heck of a job, man. I bet there's already 100 applications filled out for that. That's pretty good news. That's awesome, and certainly an exciting time to be covering Tennessee. You know, there's a lot going on. There's more turnover, a new head coach, and pretty soon a new beginning.
It keeps changing. The more it changes, it stays the same, though, Griff. I mean, it is just the Tennessee revolving door of football coaches has to stop sometime soon, right?
Yeah, you know, you say that, but, you know, you look around the SEC, it's kind of a revolving door everywhere. I mean, Kirby Smart's been here at Georgia, 6 years? And I think he's already number three in the tenured list behind, Saban and Stoops. Is that right? Am I right about that? That sound right? I'm trying to think.
Sounds right. Down the list, I mean, Mullen's been in the league forever, but it's his, third year at Florida, fourth year?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt's got a new head coach, and Missouri's got a pretty new coach, and South Carolina fired Muschamp, and then, of course, Auburn has a new head coach, and Sam Pittman goes into year two, and Leach and Kiffin go into year two. So, yeah, I mean, 6 years gets you the third longest tenure in the SEC, so it's a tough gig, man. Everybody wants to win. Everybody expects to win. The competition for players is intense. The scheduling is ridiculous. I mean, you could take a half a dozen teams and put them in the ACC, and they'd finish second or third.
No doubt about it. Who's the second best head coach in the league right now behind Saint Saban?
You know, you know, it's hard because it's hard to evaluate because you look at different jobs and you expect a different success rate. I mean, I obviously on paper, Kirby, you know, but I suppose someone could make the case for Jimbo, but he hasn't made the playoff at Texas A&M yet. He does have a national championship at Florida State, but didn't exactly leave that program in a really good place. You know, Kirby won three SEC East in a row, and he's working on four straight top 10 finishes now that he's had. And he recruits really well. You might say, well, you should win at Georgia. Mark Richt won about the same amount, right? But what Kirby's done is he's raised about 170 in facilities improvement, $170 million. And that's really transformed Georgia. So the results might be the same as Coach Richt on the field, but behind the scenes, Georgia's building, you know, they just finished off an $81 million football building. I don't know if they're on par with Tennessee yet. I think Tennessee's got some of the best facilities in the country, but Georgia has really narrowed the gap. I'd put Kirby ahead of Mullen still based on how the teams finished last year, based on the fact that, you know, for all those years in the league, I don't think Mullen's been to an SEC championship game yet. So Kirby's been to three. So I'd probably put Kirby number two. You know, you make an argument for Mullen and Jimbo Fisher, I would say. Don't know much about Byron Harsin. He's brand new. I guess I can't give him too much juice for what he did at Boise State, but I like him. I like that hire quite a bit. I think we're all impressed with Sam Pittman and Eli Drinkwitz to this extent or to this point. I know the Kentucky fans champion Stoops, and he's done a pretty good job there, but I saw Rich Brooks win a lot of games there too, back with Randy Sanders as his offensive coordinator. Those would be the names at the top of my list. Sam Pittman looks like he's off to a great start. A little too early for me to say that Lane or Leach is there quite yet.
Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, with us this afternoon on The Drive. And, Mike, you talk about Kirby, a lot of good vibes around Georgia football this spring. What are the expectations for Kirby Smart and Company coming off last year?
You know, it's kind of interesting, guys. I liken Kirby a lot to where Coach Fulmer was in the 1990s. You know, there were always good vibes. There were always good players. Now, they haven't had a guy like Peyton Manning. Of course, nobody really has. But I liken it to, like, where Tennessee was. You know, great recruits, great talent. But, of course, we remember how Tennessee got tripped up by Florida so many times before the breakthrough in 1998. And it kind of looks like that's what's happening with Kirby and Saban. I mean, they're right on the fringe, right? They've had some untimely injuries. They've lost their best receiver probably for the season. I know everybody's saying, well, he might be back in November, but, you know, it kind of reminds me when Robert Meacham went out for Tennessee. It was really a year and a half before he looked like a first-round pick again. Yeah. It takes time mentally for these guys to get back, and I just don't think George Pickens can be a major contributor next season. That's a big blow because he was a 100-catch guy, probably going to set a school record. They got a great quarterback, a fantastic quarterback. They got a lot of talent in the trenches. I think Georgia could make a pretty good run this year. But listen, I've talked about teams in the offseason before. You guys remember, I love that 2016 Butch Jones team. I thought they were going to win the SEC, and they started 5-0 and beat Florida and Georgia. But, you know, injuries happen, coaching mistakes, and before you know it, it's 9-4. So Georgia looks good right now, but if they get more guys injured, lose a close game or two, it can go off the rails quickly in this league.
Opening up against Clemson and Charlotte, that's a humdinger to kick off the season right there. I mean, you talk about a tone setter. I suppose your season can go one of two ways very quickly after that.
Yeah, yes and no. You know, I like this game for Georgia a lot. I think it's a no-lose game, and here I call it an opportunity game. And this is why, because if you lose to Clemson and you win the SEC, you're going to the playoffs, right? Because you got to get through Alabama. Even if you beat Clemson, though, you still have to go through Alabama to get to the playoff. You're not going to make it to the playoff. I think what we're seeing now is you're not going to make it to the college football playoff unless you win your championship game. I think the only team that can back in is Alabama, like they did in 2017. They didn't even play in the SEC championship game. I think that's the only team that gets that free pass out of the league because of what they've done in the past. Look at Texas A&M didn't even get in last year. I mean, Notre Dame got throttled by Clemson and still got in ahead of A&M. I mean, that's ridiculous, but that's what this college football playoff committee does, right? So I think that it's a harmless game. If you look at Georgia's schedule, unlike last year when it was really top-loaded, and they played Tennessee when they – remember, Tennessee was beating Georgia at halftime last year, guys. I mean, that's why I say everybody always, oh, it's the end of the world. I'm like, you were beating Georgia at halftime last year. Don't forget that. But this year's schedule for Georgia is a lot more forgiving after the first game. So they've got some time the next 4 or 5 weeks before they run into an Arkansas and an Auburn to get their young secondary some reps. They've got a great front seven, so teams aren't going to have much time to throw or exploit that secondary. But they're going to have some time to work themselves into some pretty good rhythm, I think, offensively and defensively, provided they can protect JT Daniels next season.
Griff, it seems like there's a little bit of momentum on the playing an actual game for the spring game front. I know Gundy came out and talked about it. Mark Richt used to talk about this back in the day down there at Georgia. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think we'll see a day where these colleges play an actual exhibition game, whatever you want to call it, against another opponent instead of a spring scrimmage?
I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, a lot of people are asking how they can make up for this lost revenue, and it's pretty simple. You play a home and home. You do split squad games. You know, maybe Tennessee and Oregon. You know, Tennessee sends a half the squad up to Oregon, and Oregon sends half the squad to Tennessee. I mean, I imagine you could probably get 50,000 or 60,000, or maybe something. You know, maybe Georgia and Michigan, or I mean, you know, make up your own game, but. You know, why not? Why not do split squad games and have maybe one game Saturday and one game Sunday, right? You can split your squad up and do it that way and play it. We could even go Jamboree style with this. You know, you could play one half with a split squad and make a lot of money and give people, you know, because if I'm being honest about it, and I consider myself a purist and I have respect for FCS football. But, guys, I just haven't watched it this spring. I don't know about you, but it just doesn't move the needle for me. So, but if you give me some FBS and some cool interleague games like that, Jamboree, half games, whatever, you can modify the scoring however you want. I don't know. But I would watch that. And I think a lot of people would. And I think that'd be a way to make up for some of this lost revenue. And, you know, now that we're talking about legislation that opens it up for players to be paid, you're going to have to figure out some more ways to make money because if the players are starting to get that endorsement money, that could mean the school doesn't get as much, and yet you still have all these Olympic sports that you want to put out there. I saw Clemson cut their track program. I mean, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, are we going to start taking opportunities away from other sports so that the third string linebacker can get paid? Because really, I mean, the way I look at the model now, everybody says, well, there's so many of these guys that do all this and get paid. Well, there's so many guys that don't play and get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, 50 guys that play? The other 35 guys are all on scholarship, and they're getting money too right now. They're all getting cost of attendance money, and a lot of them are getting different adjustments based on their family's income. Not to mention they get to train in a world-class facility, have full medical care, meals 24/7. And if you checked out the digs where they live, pretty doggone nice. There's a lot of value to that already, and you don't even have to start. Georgia just had a guy, he transferred out. His name's Tommy Bush, and I'm not picking on Tommy, but, you know, he's here 4 years. He graduates. He played in 3 games. He made 2 catches, and he's out. What was the value of those years at Georgia for Tommy Bush? $250,000? So it's not like everybody's just being all used up and not getting anything. The way the system works, all the kids get – the opportunity to get that education, that world-class treatment, and to audition for the sport they love. And, oh, by the way, a degree means a lot. If you looked at where the Haslam School of Business is ranked lately, or look where the Georgia Bit, those are top 30 business schools in the country that you can get a degree from for free.
No doubt about it. I love having Griff on the show, Bear, is because he asked a question about the spring game, and I always thought, you know, playing Tennessee at Tennessee Tech or something for a spring game would be revolutionary.
Nah.
Griff with the split squad, let's play 2 games.
Yeah.
Let's play 1 game in Tennessee,
bring
one
Michigan
game in Oregon.
In here. Yeah.
That's wild. I had not even begun to think of that. Mike Griffith with us here this afternoon on the show, making some great points. Griff, your thoughts on Josh Heupel hired here at Tennessee?
Well, it's the safe hire, and when we say the safe hire, a lot of people groan and roll their eyes, but what you have to understand is that Tennessee is in desperate need of stability, I think to an extent, Coach Fulmer brought that in many other sports. Okay, I want to be clear. Obviously, football didn't work out, and I don't think I need to go over all the details. I think your audience is pretty well informed of what happened or what the chancellor said happened in that press conference. That was quite a bloodletting. I can't remember another press conference that was quite that revealing in my time covering college sports. I mean, they really put it all out there, right? So, but I look at Tennessee baseball right now. I mean, I know Tennessee fans have to be proud, and Ralph and Karen Weekly are still getting it done, and you know, the Lady Vols now, they look like, you know, the women's basketball program could be. There's a lot of good things happening at Tennessee right now. I know football is the engine that drives the train, and that's where our focus is. But I think the stability is important. I think that the athletic director recognized that. Look, Heupel's not the sexy hire, okay? He's not the home run hire that everybody, you know, wants to grasp for, right? But there's only so many Jimbo Fishers to go around. And I don't think Tennessee's in a position to guarantee anybody $75 million over 10 years. I don't think that would be fiscally responsible with all the other things that are going on and some of the buyouts involved or have yet to be settled, et cetera. So I think that the safe hire can be a good hire. I think that it stabilizes the program. I think there will be some direction. I did a show earlier today, and the John Boy show, say the kid's got a podcast out of Atlanta, does a nice job, and he foresees a lot of offensive fireworks. I think that could be entertaining. I think that's a way to get some talent back into Knoxville. I think you already have some talent offensively there. Modern-day Hal Mumme, perhaps? No, not quite that. But I do think we're going to see a lot of offense. I think Tennessee football is going to be exciting. But it'll take some time. You've hit the reset button. You got a coach that will bring you stability. The AD's bought in. He knows him. I think he feels confident that Heupel will maintain some compliance, so you know that won't be an issue, and that's important right now. You're kind of operating with the cloud over you now again. It kind of reminds me of the days after Lane Kiffin, when there was that, what, 2 or 3 year investigation, you know, that Dooley was trying to recruit out from underneath that. It's kind of tough right now, but I think it's a step in the right direction. It's not the giant leap that everybody wants to see Tennessee make. I think it's just a matter of time, though. Tennessee recruits itself. It's got great facilities, Neyland Stadium. We're starting to see the Middle Tennessee area produce a lot more top FBS talent. You got talent around there in Knoxville, for that matter. So I feel like it's a step in the right direction. It's not everything at once, but I think it's about what you could expect and ask for at this time.
Hey, Mike, I'm meaning to ask you, I've noticed on Twitter lately, you've been talking a lot about the cocktail party game between Florida and Georgia. Do you see them ever moving that out and making them, you know, do a normal home and home?
Well, they should. They really should. It's sad, you know, and I don't, you know, it's like, so you guys know me. I say what's on my mind, and sometimes not everybody agrees, but I'm not afraid to go against the grain on occasion. I know that probably shocks you, but I look and say, well, geez, Georgia hadn't won a national championship since 1980. Ah, why not? I'm like, well, let's take a look at things here. Okay, number one, you're not going to – don't expect different results doing things the same way. Let's look a little closer at your schedule. You're giving up 1 out of every 8 home SEC recruiting weekends. I mean, you're essentially imposing your own sanction. If somebody said to Tennessee or any other program, hey, we're going to take away 1 out of every 8 SEC home recruiting weekends, you'd be like, oh, my God, no way. That's going to kill us. No. Georgia does it willingly just because the Florida fans will buy them a drink in Jacksonville. You mean you're just going to let us play down here? Sure, come on down. We'll throw the party. We're buying tonight. Yeah, no kidding. Jacksonville's 70 miles from Gainesville. It's 340 miles from Athens. Now, that's not very neutral if you ask me. Can you guys – this is what it would be like. What if Alabama played LSU every year in New Orleans? Can you see that? I can't. What if Tennessee played South Carolina every year in Myrtle Beach? Are you kidding me? No chance. So why does – well, because it's a tradition. Well, some traditions are dumb. Now, and this is even dumber. So Sanford Stadium, and I know a lot of Tennessee fans have been down there because Fulmer owned Georgia, and Tennessee used to make it an annual trip to come down here and stop Georgia. Sanford Stadium is a better stadium than what Jack – I went down there, guys. I hadn't been there. You guys know I've done all the rivalries, all the great Tennessee. Been to the Swamp with Tennessee, Florida, home and home. Love it. Been to Alabama. I went down there going, okay, let's see what all the fuss is about. It's a motorhome lot. Looks like a NASCAR, you know, it kind of reminds me of NASCAR. You know, people are flying flags in a motorhome lot, you know, throwing the beanbag game and having fun. And that's cool, but that's not enough. The stadium itself, it's like, this is an NFL stadium. It's kind of blah. You know, it doesn't even hold as much as Gainesville or Athens. So where's the mistake? Oh, well, the crowd split 50-50. You ever been to a Vanderbilt game? You can see that every week at Vanderbilt. You know, I mean, so what if the crowd split 50-50? Isn't that what the bowl games are for? I don't see it. Now, there may have been a time when that was a fun trip, because there wasn't an SEC championship game and there wasn't a college football playoff and there was 12 games instead of now 15. But I look at it and I go, why are you doing this? Kirby wants the home and home for recruiting. I look at it for your community. And, you know, I don't know how Knoxville handled it. I have a pretty good idea. My kids are still there. And I think Knoxville has done a really good job throughout the pandemic. You know, there's a lot of hospitals in Knoxville. It's a great community to live in because of that. It's got a strong infrastructure because of the civic government there. But Athens isn't as well off. And it's times like when we have these crises and you go, wow, how well and equipped is our economy to handle this when there's a pandemic, right? Well, Athens, the answer is not very well. And the answer and the reason why is because you're giving away a $10 to $15 million weekend to get to Jacksonville every other year. Think about that over the decades. How many hundreds of millions of dollars playing in Jacksonville has cost the city of Athens and the Georgia community where these people live? I mean, it doesn't make sense for the community. It doesn't make sense for recruiting. It doesn't make sense in the game. And they can say, well, you know, a 70-mile bus ride is the same as a 20-mile plane trip. No, or a 20-minute plane trip. No, it's not. When you fly, it takes something out of you. You get dehydrated. It is not optimal to fly to a game. It is much better to drive an hour. So, you know, and people, hey, you're making excuses. I'm not making excuses for anything. I'm just telling you, it doesn't make sense. And I'll take one more step on you guys if you'll let me. The Georgia Tech game is a complete waste of a home and home for Georgia. I don't know, but do you get excited when you're like, hey, guys, let's see what Georgia's doing again? It's like when Tennessee played Memphis in football. You say, who gives a damn? You're supposed to beat Memphis. All that can happen is bad. The weather's bad, the stadium's bad, and if you lose, they never let you forget it. It's the same way for Georgia Tech. What's the point of this? Well, we got to beat them. Yeah, great, you beat them. So what? It doesn't help you in the polls. All they do is kamikaze and try and hurt you. It's their last game of the year. They're going out on a mission. You know, it makes zero sense. So those are a couple things that in Georgia, who are you to say this? I don't know, somebody walking in here with some common sense maybe? Why are you doing this? This does not make sense. So that is my spiel.
So what you're telling us is you're against it. You think they should move it back to Athens every year. Yeah.
I know this. And I was fortunate at Tennessee to get to work with Diamond Doug Dickey, maybe one of the greatest athletic directors of all time. And Diamond Doug understood the value of a home game at Tennessee to the extent that Diamond Doug was not going to give up a home game to play at Bristol Motor Speedway until it was doggone worth it. And they never made it worth it. And he said, you know what? We've already given up a home game for the ACC. We're doing it with a home and home for Miami. And he sat back and he said, yeah, that makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? Playing Miami home and home sure does sound better than playing Virginia Tech. You get a lot more pub for that. Remember that? That was the Soldier game when Tennessee went down there and snapped their, 28-29 home game streak with Tinsley and Casey Clawson, the Iceman, and Colquitt had that left-footed punt that confused the mind. I mean, it was a bit, but I digress. Dickey recognized the value of a home game at Neyland Stadium. And for whatever reason, Georgia does not give the same value to their home games at Sanford Stadium. And that's silly to me. Sanford Stadium, in its own right, is a beautiful stadium. It's open-ended. You see the people walking down the street. They put the LED board. It's a great environment, as is Neyland Stadium. I ain't giving games up there. Like Georgia just signed a home and home with Louisville. I absolutely raked him for that. I said, are you kidding me, man? That's a bad bowl game. You want to go to Louisville? I mean, really? You didn't even get a basketball game out of it? I mean, at least when Tennessee would play Memphis, part of the deal was Memphis had to play him in basketball. And you know Memphis hated that. But that was part of the deal. Hey, you want us to send football over there? You got to send basketball. You know, Georgia didn't even get a basketball home and home at Louisville. I mean, you look at Georgia's future schedule. Texas, Ohio State, Oklahoma, UCLA. Don't fit.
Griff, love your passion, brother. Great to hear from you. Thanks for jumping on with us. You keep fighting the good fight down there, that Jacksonville thing. I don't think they're going to listen to you anytime soon, but maybe.
Hey, Kirby wants it home and home, but listen, okay. It ain't fighting a fight. I'm just trying to shed a little light on something, guys.
There
just
you
like
go.
You guys do on Fan Run Radio.
There you go, man. Thanks, Griff. Always appreciate it.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Yeah, you too. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, AJC, the man is passionate. He's got takes.
Burned it down. Takes for days.
He's fired up about that Jacksonville thing. He makes some
good points. I knew he was because I follow Mike on Twitter.
I saw he's been
banging that drum for, and it made, I was reading him. I was like, yeah, it makes a lot of, I mean, I hate Georgia. Everybody knows this. I hate them more than anybody, but everything Mike says is true. Why would you give up that kind of payday every other year?
Yeah.
And honestly, how much fun would it be to see them doing home? It'd be a lot more fun to watch Georgia in the Swamp or Florida and Sanford.
Now, his whole that game might actually cost us good health care. I thought that was
that's Griff, man.
That was an interesting. But I mean, over the years, yeah. I mean, it's cost them millions and millions of dollars. I don't know that they would have been building hospitals with that money, but
no. But I see what he was saying. Like on a pandemic year, like this one was. That was. You know, that's a hit.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio. We got to wrap things up coming up next.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive wrapping up on a Tuesday afternoon, rapidly becoming Tuesday evening. Final segment of the show this Masters Week, presented by our friends at FanDuel.
FanDuel.com. If you want to start betting on golf, FanDuel Sportsbook has a gimme just for you. New users can get 20-1 odds on Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, or Jordan Spieth just to make the cut at the Masters. That's right. Take your pick. You'll get 20-1 odds on three of the world's best golfers just to make the cut. You can win $100 on a $5 bet. There isn't much more of a gimme than that. It's a pretty easy bet to win, Russ. And when you do win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. The world's best golfers tee off in Augusta April 8th through the 11th. And there are even more ways to win with America's number one sportsbook. Just create your account using promo code DRIVE1 to get 20-1 odds. That's promo code DRIVE1 only on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee to participate. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $100 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Twitter is having a lot of fun with
my coaching search.
With the Catholic coaching search.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
They're a bunch of clowns.
They hired a search firm yet over there, Bear?
No. I'd say I've been consulted, though.
What do you think? What do you think about Jeremy Pruitt getting back to his roots, Coach Cornbread, getting back to high school football?
There is
where he started.
No
Bear.
Way.
He's been at a powerhouse program down there at Hoover before. He knows what big time high school
the
football looks like.
The only place he's ever been a head coach was at UT.
Cornbread,
and he was a miserable failure.
But surely, I mean, you recognize that coaching in the meat grinder of the Southeastern Conference is not akin to coaching at Catholic High School. It's a big job, no doubt about it. It's some big games, but it's not quite the chore that coaching at Tennessee is. I think he could handle it. He put together a good staff. He'd get Niedermeyer back over there.
The Moose.
Boy, Niedermeyer, get that pipeline flowing.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
I got a feeling that the headmaster and the bishop probably wouldn't really be big fans.
Got a McDonald's, a block away from Catholic over there on Cedar Bluff?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, Russ.
You don't find this funny?
No, I don't.
Skull can back at the Butch Bowl.
No. Would you be excited about Pruitt being the coach over at 3300? I forgot. You all don't really have that much of a program, so you don't really care.
We've got a coach.
What's his name?
What is that guy's name? I can see him right now.
First time
Lamar
ever
Brown.
I've turned
Lamar
the tables
Brown.
On Russ.
Coach Lamar Brown.
He's done a really good job over there.
He's done a very good job.
Well, I mean, he had Jed Dance's kid over there. I know. Makes it a lot easier.
Well, we'll see. You're going to keep us up to date, right, on the Catholic coaching search? I mean, I feel like
this needs
the fan run.
You want an altar voice segment on it?
we might have to. I mean, we not heard from Phil today. I expect a full report tomorrow. I want a short list. I want a surely they're not going to trot him out there. I want this is my favorite coaching search lingo phrase of all time. Trot him out. Like he's a horse or something, and the AD is the trainer.
I don't know who it's going to be. I know the last time, 8 years ago when it came open, I had heard they had like 30 resumes got dropped out there, and one coach in particular just showed up.
That's pretty awesome.
Demanded an interview.
I demand an audience with the Pope.
It's a bold strategy.
Is the Pope making the hire?
I don't know.
I feel like he should. Hey, Steve Matthews, you're no longer a coach here. Huh? We go find new coach. We go find new coach. We have a coaching search over here at Catholic. You send your resumes to the Vatican City. We have the interviews a little bit later. Huh? That's some good stuff. Big thanks to Alex Olive wrapping up his tenure here at Fan Run Radio. Alex, you use this as a springboard, obviously, to bigger, better things. You're entering the corporate radio world now.
I am. Yeah, listen for me on the airwaves elsewhere.
Wish we could have kept you longer, but,
That's the dream, right? You come here as an intern, you get a paid job.
With Benny's. The drive, unfortunately, can't offer that right now, currently.
Just look. New Trey, this too can be yours. You could be sitting there one day, leaving us idiots for a full time.
This is what you want. You don't want to end up like Chance Collins, Brandon Orrick, Rick Butler.
Whoa!
Off, get blitzed. You want to be like Alex Olives?
Work my way up.
Living the dream.
Well, feel free to call in anytime, Olives.
Always.
Big radio career. You will be missed. Exotic pet guy, Alex Olive.
Someday in 20 years when I've replaced Bob Kessling as the voice of the Vols, I'll come on the show still.
Not that.
Man, it's a goal to shoot for.
Hopefully
we'll
it doesn't
see.
Take that long.
Whoa. What the hell are you talking? Whoa. What? You can't do that. No, Bob Kessling's a friend of the show. Yeah. I apologize right now. Right.
Seriously, apologize to him. No, you apologize.
I'm not saying anything bad about Bob. I'm saying he's that talented. Ooh. That Bob will move on. And
okay, that's a nice save. Yeah, but okay, Kessling listens to
about,
the show.
You don't
he's
talk about BK
personal
like
friend
that, buddy.
Of ours. Come on, we back Bob here on the drive. It's well known. Some things for you to learn. Not a good start. If you hope to fill Olive's shoes, new Trey, that was just you just opened the starting gates, fell right on your face. You pulled up. Jeremy Pruitt losing at Georgia State in the season opener right there, buddy. It's going to take some – you're going to have to recover from that one.
I believe in
you,
Trey.
Braves, not even paying attention to a damn word I'm saying.
Watching them the whole game.
All right, thank you, Alex. Best of luck to you, brother. That's going to do it for us. Big thanks to Aaron Torres and Mike Griffith. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, new Trey. Thank you, Alex. Overtime up next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.